WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Tuesday, September 22nd, and you are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. It is always a pleasure to be talking with everyone out there in mid-Michigan and beyond. We've got a great show in store for you all. I'm just getting back from Spartan Stadium as head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, addressed us media members as the Spartans now get ready to take on the Central Michigan Chips. That's right, the Chippewas. This Saturday at Spartan Stadium, you'll get a chance to hear what Coach D had to say concerning that upcoming matchup. And also, yes, he addressed that number two ranking, the highest ranking that this program has had dating all the way back to 1966. So you'll get a chance to hear from Coach D'Antonio. Also, folks, you do not want to touch that dial because we'll be inviting a man who I've been trying to get on this show for a long time. His name is Larry Spider-Man McBride. Yeah, pretty cool nickname right now. He is one of the most famed motorcyclists and drag racers out there, folks, who just went through one pretty scary injury. Larry is going to join me on the airwaves via phone to talk about that moment and to talk about how the fan community of drag racing really rallied behind Larry to make sure that he was A-OK. Top 5 Tuesday, as well as taking your calls, is also on tap. Again, if you want to call in and weigh on anything we chat about, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this September 22nd. All right, we've got some high school football news to start our show today. Portland has moved up 7 spots to number 2 in Division 5 in this week's poll, which is voted on by a panel of sports writers from across the state. The 4-0 Raiders, who posted a 28-6 road win over the Lansing Catholic Cougars on Friday, are one of 8 Mid-Michigan teams featured in the state poll this week. Ithaca remained in the top spot in Division 6 and received 4 of 5 first-place votes to lead all area teams. DeWitt and Lakewood each jumped up 3 spots this week to number 4 in their divisions. Lakewood received 1 first-place vote. How about that? All right, Michigan State recently changed the color of the blue lines at Munn Ice Arena to green. But guess what, folks? They've got to repaint them to blue again. Michigan State released the following statement this evening. Quote, the NCAA Hockey Rules Committee had denied the request for a 1-year rules waiver to alter the color of blue lines to green. We understand and respect the committee's decision, and the blue lines will be in place for the start of the year. NCAA rules state the blue lines must be blue in color. That's no fun. Come on, dude. All right, Michigan State senior wide receiver Aaron Burbridge has been named as the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week. The conference announced that yesterday. The Farmington Hills, Michigan native set career highs for receptions, receiving yards, and touchdown catches in Michigan State's 35-21 victory over Air Force this past Saturday at Spartan Stadium. He scored TD grabs of 28, 32, and 21 yards from Connor Cook. Burbridge's first TD grab was an acrobatic reception in the corner of the end zone that was absolutely redonkulous and was named as one of the top plays of the week by several national media outlets. TCU defensive end Mike Tuawa and backup wide receiver Andre Pettis Wilson were arrested Monday on a felony complaint of robbery and bodily injury out in Texas. Now, they are accused of kicking and punching another TCU student and stealing a case of Keystone Light beer. The alleged incident occurred on September 4th. A TCU spokesman said Tuawa has been suspended from the program. Unfortunate news there. All right, number 22 Michigan State concludes its season-long 5-game homestand, taking on number 9 Notre Dame today at 4 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium. Of course, that's the men's soccer program we're talking about. This game will be televised on the Big Ten Network. The Spartans are 3-2-1 overall, 0-0-1 in the Big Ten after tying number 8 Maryland in double OT on September 18th. Notre Dame is 4-2-1 overall and 1-1-0 in the Atlantic Coast Conference this season after losing its first conference match of the year at then number 3 North Carolina, 4-2 on September 18th. Now, the Irish have lost two straight games after falling to Xavier at home 1-0 on September 15th. Not that it really matters when talking about postseason implications for the Detroit Tigers, but they were swept by the Chicago White Sox in a day-night doubleheader, capped by a 3-2 loss in the finale. They continue the four-game homestand against the Chi tonight at 7:08 p.m. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw two touchdown passes, and the New York Jets' defense forced five turnovers. Yes, five on Monday night to give the Jets a 20-7 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. The Jets are 2-0. For the first time since 2011, Indy has lost back-to-back games for only the second time in Andrew Luck's four-year career. Ah, bad outing for the Colts last night. And former number 4 tennis player in the world, James Blake, met with New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio and Police Commissioner William Bratton on Monday to discuss his mistaken arrest from September 9th. Now, Blake, who was waiting for a ride to the U.S. Open outside of his hotel in Midtown, was tackled to the ground, handcuffed, and detained by police after they mistook him for a suspect in an identity theft case. The officer who tackled Blake, James Francistor, has been placed on desk duty, and the entire thing is caught on film. Yeah, disturbing video, folks. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, on any or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or also weigh in by tweeting me at AlMartinWKAR. If you don't tweet me, hey, at least follow me, okay? Without further ado, let's start the show.
In my mind, I see a line. And over that line, I see green fields and lovely flowers and beautiful white women with their arms stretched out to me over that line. But I can't seem to get there no how. I can't seem to get over that line. That was Harriet Tubman in the 1800s. And let me tell you something. The only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is opportunity. You cannot win an Emmy for roles that are simply not there. So here's to all the writers, the awesome people that are Ben Sherwood, Paul Lee, Peter Nowak, Shonda Rhimes, people who have redefined what it means to be beautiful, to be sexy, to be a leading woman, to be black. And to the Taraji P. Hensons, the Kerry Washingtons, the Halle Berrys, the Nicole Beharis, the Megan Goods, to Gabrielle Union, thank you for taking us over that line. Thank you for the Television Academy. Thank you.
Yes, and that is how we start today's current sports. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. And the voice you just heard was from actually one of my favorite actresses out there right now. I mean, she is unbelievable. Her name is Viola Davis. You guys may know her from the ABC hit show How to Get Away with Murder. And she took the Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series in her role in that very show. Davis became the first African-American woman to win the award. And as you just heard, I mean, she did not take the honor for granted whatsoever. It was one of those moments I was sitting back watching the Emmys after, of course, you know, watching football all day while I was actually flipping between the Emmys and then the Sunday night game between the Packers and the Seahawks as well. And I got a chance to tune in. It occurred actually during halftime, so it was perfect time. And it occurred during halftime when Viola Davis won the award. And it's one of those moments that just it sends chills up your spine, you know. And you, I kind of got that lump in my throat. I didn't cry, okay? But I got that lump in my throat. I will say that because it was such an emotional moment because, you know, it's been well documented when looking at the history of African-American actresses who just haven't been given that opportunity, you know, to land those big roles. So touching words from Viola Davis, and it's one of those things, if you looked at the crowd, I mean, she got a standing ovation. You know, individuals were crying in the crowd. Kerry Washington, one of my favorite actresses as well, who stars in Scandal every Thursday night, she said that she cried while she watched Davis backstage. Oprah Winfrey was weighing in on it. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable stuff. So I had to play that. That was actually one of my weekend winners from yesterday, but I'm blaming that one on Isaac. Yeah, I'm calling you out, Isaac. No.
Yeah, I'm gonna call you out for maybe posting it a little late. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. We're not maybe. Sure. Let's blame it. Let's compromise. Let's blame it on Google for not uploading it.
Let's blame it on Google. How about we do that?
Google.
But I touch it. Did you see that speech, dude? That speech was unbelievable, man. Oh, my gosh.
I heard about it in the media. This is the first time I'm actually hearing the speech itself, but it sounds great.
Well, you didn't even know who Viola Davis was, though. That shocked
me. No, I didn't.
That's crazy stuff, man. But, yeah, I wanted to start showing a positive note to start off Tuesday's show. We got a lot to get to, and I'm pretty excited today because, again, we've been trying to get this man on for a long, long time. And, folks, I'm talking about Spider-Man. No, not the superhero. I wish, right? How cool would that be, right? But, no, Larry Spider-Man McBride, who was one of the most famed motorcyclists and drag racers out there in the sport. He's been doing it for, like, over 30 years. Him and his family, I mean, it's like, it's a family tradition for the McBrides to race and to drag race using a motorcycle. But he had a scary moment. I saw it in the news, and I had to do kind of a double take because there's you can YouTube it, and again approach with caution. But there's video here and there of the incident. You know, you have to really do some searching though. I mean, because a lot of people actually took the video down once they posted it. But his motorcycle actually kind of like exploded into flames, and you know, thank goodness there was a rescue crew around. You know, during the time and they were able to act quickly and dispel the flames. McBride was able to walk under his own power, but not after suffering some pretty bad burns. So Larry is going to join me on the show during our second segment of WKAR's Current Sports to talk about that scary moment, as well as, you know, the sport of drag racing, especially motorcycle drag racing, a sport that isn't talked about a lot, but that has a pretty strong fan base, to say the least. So you don't want to miss that. Also, later on in the hour, of course, it is Top 5 Tuesday, and we've got a pretty interesting one for you guys. Of course, Top 5 Tuesday, we love to bring you guys a Top 5 sporting topic, the Top 5 point guards in Michigan State history, the Top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL right now. You get the gist, right? So today's Top 5 Tuesday centers on the Top 5 most overrated sports franchises. Again, the top five most overrated sports franchises. I want to get your thoughts on this as well. If you got a thought on who makes the list or who should be at the top of the list when it comes to overrated sports franchises, call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Again, you can also, if you're a little bit shy and you don't want to, you know, call in and talk to us on the air, you can weigh in by typing on your keyboard, by going to facebook.com/currentsports, leaving a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air, or you can even tweet me again at Al Martin WKR. VAR. That should be a very interesting one. But I want to start off today's show because, of course, everyone's talking about the Michigan State football team. So I want to start off by talking about, the Michigan State football team and Coach Mark D'Antonio. I'm just now getting back from Spartan Stadium. Coach D held his weekly press conference like he does each and every Tuesday morning at 11:30 to address the upcoming week's matchup, to clarify any injuries that may have occurred since their last meeting on Saturday. And to also talk about, the elephant in the room, that being the ranking, that number two ranking. Again, the highest ranking for this program, the highest AP ranking for this program since 1966. Wow. Pretty cool stuff, right? And I can only imagine what it's like being a player, for the Michigan State football team or being in Coach Mark D'Antonio's shoes or being anyone a part of that program because – again, it's so early in the year. It's, week three we're talking about, folks, embarking on week four now. But at the same time, anytime you have an accomplishment like this and you're the number two team in the nation, it's hard to ignore that. I understand the coach speak. They all count one. It's still early. There's still a lot of football left to be played. But again, Michigan State is on the map right now, folks. So trying to find that balance between embracing the hype, but also keeping things in perspective, I can only imagine. It's certainly a challenge, to say the least. So here's Coach D. We're going to play you a numerous amount of snippets here, but here's Coach D, first off, addressing that number two ranking.
What I've said to our football team, which is what I believe, is that these early season rankings are based on what you have done. And what we've done this year is we beat an Oregon team that played for the national championship last year. And what we did last year, we beat a Baylor team, and the only two teams we lost to were in that vein, were in that championship game. And the year before, we beat a very good Ohio State team that was second ranked, and we beat a Stanford team that was fourth ranked. Even if you go back to 2012 and 2011, TCU and Georgia. So when you look at who we've played in that group of five or six or seven teams up there, we played with the best, and we've won some games. And right now we're 3-0. I don't think we played our best football yet, but we've played. I guess if you look at really want to look at it, I believe that Oregon won 13 or 14 games last year. Is that correct? And Air Force won 10, and Western won 8. So I don't know if anybody's played teams that have won that many games and is undefeated. But we need to focus on the moment. With that being said, we need to focus on the moment. But I think that our past has given us a little bit of a footprint in college football right now. And so people know who Michigan State is based on our past. And right now we're doing the job. It's not a perfect game. There are no perfect games out there. Just look across the country. But we've gotten the job done, and we're 3-0. So I don't really worry myself about it, but if I sort of drive down the road and say, why is this happening, this is probably why it's happening. And I do remind our players that we're 8-1 going into our 10th game in 2013 before we finally cracked the top 25 at that point in time. So, it's a hard climb up. It's a quick drop down. But we are where we're at. This should pay dividends later on as long as we continue to do our job and focus on the moment. And that's what we're trying to do. Just focus on the moment. Do your job. Don't be entitled. Take the work ethic that we've had in the past and use that to our advantage.
Coach D knocked it out the park, in my opinion. That's exactly the type of answer that I expected, to be honest. Because he was asked, looking at the context of the question, when Mike Griffith from MLive asked the question about the ranking, he was asked whether or not, he really believes that Michigan State is the number two team in the nation. And he answered it just like, how I stated my spiel to begin Monday's show when the ranking came out on Saturday afternoon. And is that when you look at it, the reason why Michigan State is ranked number two is because of what they've done in the past. Do I really believe that Michigan State is the number two college football team in the entire nation right now? No, I got to be honest with you. There are certainly things that this team needs to get better at if they really want to solidify that number two spot, which they already ideally have right now, according to the Associated Press, right? And Coach D said the reason why they have that number two ranking is what they've done. They've beaten Oregon, a team that, just like I always say, I mean, every year you can depend on Oregon to be in national championship conversations. Looking at what they did last year, they finished top five. The year before that, they finished top five and won the Rose Bowl. So at the end of the day, Michigan State's track record is starting to be noticed by the upper echelons and the voters within polls like the Associated Press. And that's why, like Coach D said, if I'm driving down the street and saying, okay, why is Michigan State ranked number two in the nation? Well, that's why. The history of this squad, they haven't lost this year. They've beat Oregon, and they've had an incredible track record the past 2 to 3 years, point blank period. So they deserve to be there at the end of the day. And again, I can only imagine, you know, the hype surrounded around this squad. I mean, anytime you're sitting, you know, at either the number any in any of the top five echelons of a poll, of a prospective poll, I mean, that's got to be pretty cool stuff. But again, you got to keep it in perspective. And Coach D knows that. I mean, you heard him there. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you heard a bunch of excitement bleeding through your speakers about the ranking. Coach D has a workmanlike attitude and is a realist. It's still so early with a ton of football to play. So CMU is up next. You know, you got to love these in-state rivalry games. You know, I'm pretty sure it's going to be one that brings out a lot of people from Mount Pleasant to the East Lansing area. It's going to be an exciting time. Now, it's not going to be like the atmosphere that Michigan State had when they played Western on the road. I mean, that was Michigan State's first ever visit to Kalamazoo and Waldo Stadium. And that atmosphere was absolutely, they treated it like a Super Bowl in KZU. It was absolutely unbelievable. But with that game, this game, this weekend, being in East Lansing, Michigan, Michigan State is going to be a heavy, heavy favorite. Actually, right now, I'm looking at the ticket sales, and MSU announced today that there are still 2,700 tickets available for the game this weekend. So I don't expect a crazy atmosphere. But anytime you have an in-state rivalry game going on between any of the schools, you know, Michigan State, Michigan, you know, CMU, EMU, Western, it's always a fun time, and it's good and healthy for the entire state. And, you know, Michigan State realizes that they can't take anyone for granted. They just simply can't. And, you know, and he talked about that as well. Here's Coach D on taking opponents for granted and not doing that.
I think it's significant that when we line up and play, we don't take anybody for granted and we come to play. That's what's significant to me about that stat, that we get ourselves ready to go and we take the attitude we take the attitude of respect towards everybody we play, and we get ourselves ready to go and we take care of business. So that's the most I can say about that, because everybody's got a shot. We've played a lot of good football teams that aren't ranked. So.
Yeah, and you just can't overlook teams. Simple as that. I mean, that's how you end up, you know, having upsets happen. You know, Michigan State, historically under the Coach D'Antonio regime, has never overlooked an opponent. They pride themselves on that. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what you have to do. Now, also some updates, some specific updates concerning injuries and concerning certain suspensions from players that Coach D'Antonio also addressed. I want to note that Mark D'Antonio says that defensive end Montez Sweat has been suspended, quote, for this point in time. Don't know why. We don't know the specifics as to why Montez Sweat is suspended. But again, he says that it's not long term. He did not dress versus Air Force, so we don't know the specifics there. And other than that, I don't think we have any other suspension news as far as that's concerned. I'm going to play a bite from, of course, Delton Williams in just a sec. But also finishing the deal, because Isaac, when you look at Michigan State, this has been a conversation that you and I have had on this show about Michigan State going into games where when they are highly favored, getting off to good starts, or in Western's case, kind of a rocky start there, but making sure that they play with the same intensity throughout the first through four quarters. And we didn't see that against Air Force, because they sort of, you know, let off the gas a little bit, in my opinion, and got a bit too complacent in that game. And finishing the deal is very big. And he also addressed that. But I want to get your thoughts on Michigan State finishing the deal. How big of a concern do you think that is at this point in the year?
Well, right now, I think it's great that they are undefeated with that problem, because you're right. Every single team they've played has had the opportunity to come back a little bit later in the game, whether that be Western Michigan threatening late. Air Force, of course, at one point was way behind and caught back up, made it a two-touchdown game, like you and I said on the show. If not for that fourth down stand on the goal line, then that would have been a one-touchdown game, and who knows what would have happened. And then Oregon, of course, we saw Vernon Adams with a chance to win the game late that he just slightly overshot. So it is a problem. However, Michigan State's played well enough overall to give themselves the cushions so that they don't really have to worry so much about closing it. But when Ohio State comes around, you better believe that they need to work on that.
Yeah, so here is Coach D on, quote-unquote, finishing the deal.
Well, we would certainly like to have gotten fourth and one and finished the game there. And, you know, the week before, we'd like to have gotten out, you know, run the ball for a couple yards there and not make it as close. But I thought that you know, our offense has done a good job. We score points. We've not turned the ball over. You know, there's the ebb and flows of every football game. And defensive teams know when you're just trying to run it, that you're trying to take the air out of the ball. So it becomes a little bit more difficult to run the football because you've got a 10-point lead and there's 4 minutes to go and those type of things. So the week before against Oregon, we had a bad down, so I said throw it. And let's try and, you know, do it that other way. But we've got to have the ability to run the ball and be balanced. And, you know, that's who we've been. That's who we will be. I think we have good running backs and a good offensive line, but it takes a lot of different pieces, fullbacks, tight ends, play selection, structure, as I said the other day on the conference call. It takes a lot of different pieces to be able to run the football. So we'll try and get that all in order, and every week's a test. Every single week that we play is a test, for our players and everything that we're doing. Tackling, running the ball, catching the ball at all. It's always a test.
And that's just the game of football at the end of the day as well, folks. I mean, you know, if you do let up on the gas, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, anytime that Michigan State, it's all about handling success. Anytime that people line up to play Michigan State now, it is going to be a bigger game for the opposition because they know that they have the opportunity to potentially knock off and upset one of the best teams in all of college football. And that's the type of mentality that Coach D and the Spartans have to have. And they prided themselves on being the underdog and playing with that chip on their shoulder. But when the perception is reversed, where, you know, just about every game from here until, again, November 21st, where you are favored heavily, what do you look for to give you that edge, to give you that chip? You got to start motivating yourself internally. And that's something that that Coach D, I'm sure, is going to be preaching to his team. Also, the running back battle between, of course, L.J. Scott, Madre London, Gerald Holmes, and, yeah, Delton Williams. Of course, we haven't seen Delton play this year. Of course, Delton Williams, he got into a bit of trouble during the offseason, during that road rage incident in which he flashed brandished a gun during a road rage situation, and he was suspended from the team. He has been back with the team but has struggled to get himself back into game shape. Here is Coach D on whether or not we will see Delton Williams this year.
Okay, Delton Williams situation, they're just not going to play him until he takes significant reps. I feel like that's, you know, unless something changes this week, that's the way I would put it. You just don't want to waste a year on him if that's what he wants to do, in that kind of situation. He's got to carry the football, and I just don't know if there's enough carries to split three ways. We tried to a little bit with Gerald this last weekend, but, you know, you're talking about he had 9 plays and maybe 3 or 4 carries. And, you know, I just think that that's tough when you do that. So he's a good football player. He's a good running back. It's just where it's at right now. Doesn't mean it won't be different 2 weeks from now or a week or even this weekend.
All right. Well, folks, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Spider-Man. I love that nickname. It's pretty cool stuff, right? Larry McBride, motorcyclist and drag racing fan favorite, will join me live here on the airwaves. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Spider-Man McBride is the elder statesman of Top Fuel Motorcycle Drag Racing. Partnered with brother Steve, the McBrides have been racing supercharged nitro-burning motorcycles for over 30 years. McBride has left his mark on the sport, to say the least. Now, he was the first rider to run under the 6.50-second elapsed time barrier, setting the record of 6.49 seconds in 1991, a mark which could not be broken for 3 years. He also garnered the 1991 AMA Pro Star Top Fuel Championship, and along with so many other accolades. And we are excited to have Larry on our airwaves right now. Larry Spider-Man McBride, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. How you doing, Larry?
Well, I've had better days for sure.
Yeah.
we're actually kind of laying here in the bed with my foot up.
Oh, boy. And we're going to get to why in just a sec, certainly, Larry, because you have a very intriguing story to tell us all about an unfortunate incident that occurred not too long ago. But first off, Larry, to get to know you, this is your first time being on our airwaves. I first off want to start off our conversation by asking you, how did your interest peak in the sport of drag racing? How did you get involved with this sport?
Well, you know, it's pretty much all my life. You know, I actually started out in the dirt. And dirt drag racing, and then just kind of advanced up into the, you know, to the national level. And, you know, we just loved it so much, and it's a great part of my life. And, you know, it's part of what I do in my business is build drag bikes. So it's been a part of me and my family's life for 37 years now.
Wow. So at what age did you really, you know, start to race?
What did I start to race?
At what age? Yeah.
Oh, at what age? Oh, I started when I was about 12 years old.
Wow.
And been going ever since. You know, I started actually racing on the national level, just, you know, hitting the national event here and there at age 18.
Mm-hmm.
And it just took a lot of money to race. So it's all about getting sponsorship. So that was my whole deal, was always working on trying to get sponsorship so I could go to the big time. And it's all worked out pretty good. You know, I've had a great career, and continue my career. You know, it's got a little setback right now, but we're going to just, you know, keep going.
Yeah, that's all you can do, Larry. Now, you know, the details of the sport, because, you know, this is one of those sports that isn't really mainstream. It's not one of those things that you constantly see publicized on ESPN. And for me, you know, and for individuals like me who don't know much about the sport of drag racing when it comes to motorcycles, I mean, can you sort of give us a brief synopsis of what it takes to go pro and the details of it? I mean, how many competitors, you know, compete on a you know, in just one tournament? How does that whole thing work? How does a season work for you along with your fellow teammates?
Well, there's several different classes. You know, you have your ET classes, you have several different classes, but a total motorcycles at a race is usually somewhere between 700 and 800 motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
And then my class, is what we run Top Fuel. And, you know, we'll have 6 to 8 bikes. There's not a lot of these bikes around these days. More and more is advancing. You know, since the economy's gotten a little bit better, you know, you're seeing more and more people build them and come out. You know, it's just it's the elite. Top Fuel is the elite class, mm-hmm. And you know, I've been fortunate enough to be able to be doing that, and it's you know, it's been a great deal of fun. And all my competitors, you know, right down to the ET racers, I got friends from every class that I respect greatly, because everybody's good in their own in their own way. And it's just it's a great community. It's a very small community, but a very close-knit community at the same time.
So, Larry, you tell me that Top Fuel is the top class. Now, when you talk about the amount of tournaments that you race in, I mean, in an average season, how many tournaments are we talking about, and how does that work? I mean, is it like a tournament setup where if you beat, you know, have the best time going against another competitor, do you move on to the next round? How does that whole thing work?
Right. Well, what happens is where you start out with qualifying,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll have 1 through 8 qualifiers, and then you win that round, you go to the next round. You win that round, you go to the next round, then to the finals, of course. And winning the finals, that means you win all the money. And that's the main objective is to get to the finals and win.
Now, how fast are these motorcycles going, Larry, to put that in perspective?
Well, I hold the national record over here in the United States at 5.76 seconds at 248 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh! Are you so? In 5 seconds, you went 200 and how fast was it?
248.
248 miles per hour in 5 seconds.
Yes, sir. 5.7 seconds.
Oh my goodness! And where? How far is that distance measured from?
Well, that's a quarter of a mile, which is 1,320 feet.
Oh my gosh, that is absolutely unbelievable. Now, well, I mean, you've been doing it for quite some time, Larry, but when you first got into this sport, was there any part of it that scared you a bit?
Any part did what? I'm sorry?
That scared you. I mean, anytime you have a vehicle going, you know, that fast at that amount of time, I mean, that's got to be a bit scary. Were you a bit nervous when you first started doing this?
Well, you know, back when we first started doing it, the bikes weren't near as fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we try not to ever use that word scared in motorcycle drag racing.
Right, right. Toughen up, right?
Well, right. It's all about adrenaline and respect. And, you know, that's what I tell everybody. People say, well, don't that scare you? Well, no, it gets my adrenaline going. But a scared person is a dangerous person. It's just kind of like a scared animal is a dangerous animal. So you don't ever want to, because you get scared, then you're going to lose perspective of what you're doing. And
right.
Then you can hurt. Then you can hurt other people and by being scared.
Yeah, it is so true. Now, again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKR's Current Sports, we are chatting with famed motorcyclist and drag racing fan favorite Larry Spider-Man McBride. Now, Larry, I also have to ask this one. I mean, how in the world did you get the nickname Spider-Man?
Well, it's happened back in 1980. An announcer started calling me Spider-Man, and it kind of just stuck with me. It's the way I ride and the way I move around on the bike. they just kind of started calling me Spider-Man, and it's kind of been a great nickname, especially, you know, with all the children in around. I've got a lot of young fans, and it's just awesome to be able to go to the track and to be able to talk with the kids and, you know, and get them interested in motorcycle drag racing.
And when you actually, because I looked at a few YouTube videos, I have been throughout the week preparing for our chat today, and it looks as though you even dress up like Spidey as well. I mean, your helmet is like the superhero Spider-Man. I mean, it's black, blue, and red, I believe, as well, right?
Well, yeah, it's got all the kind of a fluorescent orangish red that just got all the spider webs and the eyes, and you know, I got the suit all made up, and
yeah.
It's kind of a, it's, you know, I've been doing that for quite a few years, and it's done very well for me, and especially with the kids. That's the main thing, and that's what our sport needs today is, you know, to get more younger people outside and doing things instead of on the iPad.
Yeah, that's very true, right, Larry? But yeah, I mean, you're an incredible showman as well, Larry. Now, I want to talk about the reason why. You are propped up right now and not out racing somewhere or preparing to race somewhere right now. And it is due to a recent injury that occurred. For those that don't know, Larry, could you sort of take us through what occurred and what has taken place after that injury? And when did it occur as well?
Well, it actually occurred today. It was 9 days ago today. And it actually happened around 1:10 in the afternoon on Sunday, so we're not too far from when I was in the ambulance, and then they air flew me to the hospital. We had a major engine explosion, and we've never had that ever in 37 years like this. We've had some engine explosions that were bad down near the starting line, you know, leaving the starting line, but never at top end like this. And it had a major explosion, and the whole bike burst into flames, and because it completely disintegrated the motor. And in return, it caught me on fire. And then, of course, all the hot oil on you. And then trying to stop, you know, and the whole time you're trying to keep all your in the right mind to be able to get this thing slowed down so you don't actually crash. And we got it slowed down and got stopped right there at the ambulance. And unfortunately, it destroyed the whole motorcycle. And I got second-degree burns on my right leg and my left leg. Left leg not nearly as bad as my right leg, and that's what's kind of got me laid up right now, just trying to take care of these burns and, you know, trying to get ready for the next race. Unfortunately, the next race is in 2 weeks. I ain't going to make it.
Yeah, and I was just about to say, I mean, because looking at it, Lear, I mean, spoken like a true warrior, right? I mean, you just go through something, you know, very scary, a scary ordeal to say the least, and you're already thinking about when you can get on the bike next, right? But
oh, absolutely. We were just talking with the promoter this morning, and I had to tell him there's just no way I could not be ready in that link, which he was very understandable and didn't think I would be able to. It's just with burns, you got to be so careful not to get them infected. And I just feel very blessed that burns is all I got. So it's, you know, I was very, very, very fortunate in this whole deal.
So Larry, going back to the moment, I mean, when you got on the bike, first off, did you notice anything odd or anything out of place before you got on the bike to race? And how in the world did you keep your composure once the explosion happened on the bike to make sure, as you just stated, to slow down and then to, you know, for the medical attention to come and dispel the flames? How in the world did you keep your composure? What was going through your head in that moment?
Well, on the first question you asked me, is the bike was absolutely perfect. I have probably one of the best crew people. All my crew guys are top of the line. So the bike was in perfect condition, you know, when we left. And as far as keeping, you know, when that's the whole thing, is don't let it scare you. When something like that happens, you can't panic. And that's what I did. I just kept my composure. And the first thing I saw off to the right of me was the ambulance down the racetrack a little ways. And all I kept saying was, I got to make it to there, because I knew I was burning. And I knew the closer I could stop to them, the sooner they could get to me, and maybe the sooner they could put the fire out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was, I actually owe all that to the good man upstairs. The good Lord kept me safe, as safe as he possibly could under the conditions. And, you know, you really don't know how you actually do these things. I think other things take over. And I think he was a big part of me stopping and getting stopped safely and the ambulance people getting to me.
Larry, I got to ask, I mean, how common are these type of mishaps within your sport?
Very uncommon. Like I say, this is the first one I've ever seen at this speed this bad. We do see some explosions, but nothing like this here. In general, you know, you might kick a supercharger off, you know, have a backfire and kick the supercharger off. But in general, that don't happen at top end.
Right.
And the reason for this is if you're not a drag racing fan, it's hard to understand. But what we've done is we actually was smoking the tire, and we actually what we call pedaling it. We was in and out of the throttle way too many times. What happens is it actually loaded the thing up with nitromethane with the fuel. And it actually hydraulic, and when it did, it just exploded the whole top end of the motorcycle off.
Wow.
Which is very uncommon, but does happen.
Oh, boy. All right, folks. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Larry Spider-Man McBride, motorcyclist and drag racing fan favorite. Now, something really special occurred, though, after this incident took place. And, you know, concerning your fans and your fan base within the sport of drag racing, they actually put together a GoFundMe account to make sure that you were taken care of medically. Talk about that a bit, Larry.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most humbling and gratifying things that's ever happened to me in my life. You can take all of the wins, all the national championships, all the national records. And, you know, I knew I had a lot of friends at the track. I never knew that they cared like they did. And Jason Dunnigan and the Dunnigan family and Dave Dunnigan and DME and the IDBL director, Jason Miller, these guys started this GoFundMe. And I had to be honest with you, I had never heard of GoFundMe.
Right.
And all these people, they started this fund to help me with the medical expenses and to help me rebuild this bike, because my motorcycle is everybody says I'm an icon. The motorcycle's an icon. I've just always been had the pleasure and the gratitude to be able to ride the thing. And to do what these people's done for me is probably the most incredible thing that's ever happened in my life. I don't even, you know, I've said in a previous interview, you know, thank you is just not enough. I don't know what words are, but thank you is not enough. And what they've done for me is just over the top. It's the most humbling thing that's ever happened to me. And to know that you've got that many people that care about you is actually incredible to me. It's just I'm having a hard time grasping the whole thing, and my appreciation is just out of this world. Some of the comments that's been made on GoFundMe is just, you know, just bring tears to my eyes, and to know that people really care. And that's the coolest part about the motorcycle community is how they all step up and help the racers. You know, we had two other racers that actually actually crashed that weekend, and they have a GoFundMe account, and you know, other people are stepping up to help them. And it's just, you know, I just wish I had the words to say, but
yeah,
I just don't have them. I don't have them to say. I just don't think you is appropriate for it. We're going to rebuild my bike back to its original state, and everybody that's funded this deal on the GoFundMe, we're going to put all their names on this bike, and this bike will be in a museum, whether it's in Gartlett's or Don Gartlett's museum down in Florida, whatever museum we're going to get this bike in. Mm-hmm. All of their names will be displayed on my motorcycle, and it's just.
Wow,
I'm just over the top of what everybody's done.
Yeah, and we can certainly tell, Larry, and it's truly remarkable. Again, when I heard the story, I said I got to get Larry on to talk about this, because the racing community, they set a lofty goal to reach $20,000 in donations to help with your recovery, and hey, they just hit the goal. So
they did that in like 4 days.
Yeah,
over the top, and the. The GoFundMe people, they've been ecstatic and just was really impressed with the motorcycle community. But that's just the way our people roll. I mean, they're just they just don't come any better. And as you've seen, and you know, you see motorcyclists that ride together, they, you know, they do everything. We got they help the children's hospitals. They do cancer runs. They do paint the quarter mile pink. They do, you know, a lot of cancer, you know, breast cancer awareness.
Right.
They do all different, you know, so motorcycle people, yes, they are a little different, but they are the best people that you can ever, ever have in your life.
That's certainly true. And Larry, I will be remiss if I did not ask this question before we get you off our airwaves. You only have a limited time here, but I want to know why the league that you race for, I mean, is there no benefits as far as health insurance is concerned? I mean, why couldn't they, you know, fit the bill when it comes to your recovery?
Yes, they do. There is health insurance, for sure. I mean, they do have insurance, track insurance, which, you know, does come in effect. I have insurance, which comes in effect. And I don't want everybody to be misled. There is some medical bills that are in there. Mm-hmm. But this GoFundMe account was not only to help with that, but it was to help rebuild this historical motorcycle.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
Because there's going to be minimal. There's people that need the help more so than I do that might not have had health insurance. Mm-hmm. that will pick up. But the track, yes, the track, our promoter, our organization, they do have insurance that will cover medical bills up to a certain point. And then, of course, then your insurance will take over, providing you have health insurance. And unfortunately today, as you know, there's still so many tens of thousands of Americans that don't have insurance.
Right. There's still a lot of hurdles to overcome, right?
Yeah, right. And I'm just blessed that I did have health insurance. And I just don't want anybody to be misunderstood that this money is going to rebuild this motorcycle that I didn't have the money to do.
Right. And I wanted to make that known, too. I definitely wanted to clarify that through our airwaves. I mean, this is more than just that. Exactly.
Right. So, it's just a very, you know, because this motorcycle is very historic.
Right.
And I just can't stress enough and how I've put out some other interviews that every penny of this is not to benefit me financially. It's to go to this motorcycle to be rebuilt. And I will guarantee everybody that's where every penny will go to. And anybody that knows me and knows me personally will tell you that I'm a man of my word. There's very few of us left today, but I am a man of my word.
Larry, I want you to keep us posted on your recovery and as well as when you get back and well and do get that bike rebuilt and have those names on that bike. We would love to have you back on to talk about it, and we wish you well, my friend. A scary moment that certainly a great story came from. I will say that. Larry Spider-Man McBride, it has been a pleasure.
And thank you very much for having us, and I hope all your viewers become motorcycle people now.
There we go, right? Yeah, we'll see. Maybe we have a few. We'll ask them to comment on our Facebook page after.
You got Michigan that's playing pretty good ball right now. So I don't know if we'll get them. We don't know if we'll get them switched over this time of the year right now.
Right, let's shoot for next summer, okay?
Okay, sounds great, brother. And thanks a million. And we will keep you informed.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it. You take care. All right.
Okay, have a great day.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by bringing you a high school football roundup as Portland moves up a lofty bit when it comes to the rankings here in high school football in Michigan. Also, we'll have a brief Top 5 Tuesday for you. Don't touch that dial. You are tuned into Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up chatting with Larry Spider-Man McBride, a famed motorcyclist and drag racer who underwent a pretty scary ordeal exactly 9 days ago from today, in which he suffered a mid-race explosion that gave him third and fourth degree burns. He had to be airlifted to the hospital. It was pretty bad, but he is now recovering. And his fans have, raised money of over $20,000 to help him, as well as that bike of his, that famed bike of his that has been racing for over 30 years. What a story. What a story. And again, thanks to Larry for joining me today. Well, folks, I don't know if you guys saw this, but to end today's show, I want to talk about the Portland football team. Portland has moved up 7 spots to number 2 in Division 5 in this week's poll. Which is, of course, voted on by a panel of sports writers from across the state. The Raiders are 4-0 and had a pretty nice shellacking of Lansing Catholic, led by Minnesota-bound quarterback Tony Poljan, 28-6 last Friday night. So Portland moves up. How about that? Number 2 in Division 5. Here is head coach believe we have that bite. John Navarra, head coach of the Raiders, talking about that win last week.
I was happy with our ball control offense, but I am a little surprised. They're a great football team. They're very well coached. They'll bounce back. They'll be ready to play next week. And in the playoffs, we know we might see them again at some point. So just a great football game tonight. Two good football teams, two class programs. You know, I think we got a little bit of pressure on them, and I think our defensive backs played well. We were actually nervous about our DBs, and they played well. We mixed up our coverages a little in the back to try to confuse them, and we got some pressure to them. And then, we made some amazing pickoffs, and that's big against him. And he's a great football player, obviously. Truthfully, I hope we don't have to see them in the playoffs. Yeah, but the white division is tough. I mean, we were 4-5 last year, and our kids remember that, and they remember the feeling, and it was a terrible feeling for them. And they remember it, and they're working, and they know they got a tough game against Ionia next week, and they know they got a tough game every week in the CAC White.
4-5 last year, 4-0 this year. Congrats to John Navarro. I really hope they keep that incredible streak rolling on. Man, what a program. All right, brief top five Tuesday. Who exactly are the top five most overrated sports franchises? Here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's a refreshing tune as opposed to our old top five Tuesday music. Really briefly here, only 3 minutes left. We'll, of course, expound on this list tomorrow. But who exactly are the top five most overrated sports franchises today? Isaac, I'm curious, man. What's your list look like?
All right, Al. At number five, I've got USC football. Number four, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Number three, the New York Knickerbockers. Number two, the Los Angeles Lakers. And number one, Notre Dame football.
That's interesting. A few of those are similar. Okay, why'd you put Indy football as numero uno?
You know, I have to say, I don't think they've been relevant for a while now. They haven't won a championship since 88 with Lou Holtz. So I couldn't give them too much love. Also, they don't play in a conference. Come on, who does that?
Yeah, interesting stuff there. In no particular order here. Well, actually, I guess my top one is Notre Dame. I'm going to put Notre Dame as my number one as well. But I have the Lakers, I have the Knicks, I have the Yankees, and I have, and it hurts me to say this because you know how big of a fan I am. Grew up a fan of this team ever since I was a little one, and I am talking about my Dallas Cowboys. Yes, it hurts me so bad to say that. But again, the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since the 90s. They have been totally overhyped every single year because they are quote-unquote America's team, but at the same time, you know, the proof is in the pudding, and you got to win Super Bowls if you are going to be America's team, and we just haven't done that. So I got to put my Cowboys on that list. I got to.
I was considering them for my list, but they're a lot of overrated sports franchises, so they just missed out on it for me. I know they're upset about that.
I'm surprised.
Sure.
I actually went on, you know, in preparation for this last night, I saw on Bleacher Report the Cowboys are numero uno in their number one
sports
franchises.
That's a little bit too much.
Yeah, and then I saw on ESPN, they did a poll a few years ago, and Dallas Cowboys are number one on their list as well. I mean, they're like number one on everyone's overrated list. I'm like, come on, ease up on my Cowboys, dude. And yeah, Notre Dame football is on my list as well. So we'll talk more on that tomorrow, but I want to give a special thanks out there to all of you who tuned in to today's edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Special thanks to Larry Spider-Man McBride for joining me on today's show. Take care, have a fantastic afternoon, and as always, be easy, people.